Good evening, Victory. I'm glad you're joining us for the Sunday evening service once again. And it's an honor and a privilege to join with you to share in a study of God's Word. I trust and hope that you've had an outstanding day and looking forward to a good time in the Word of God tonight. Second Peter is our study. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And these are the last three verses. It's not the last in the series, but it's the three verses that tie everything together that we've been preaching on Sunday evening for the last 3 weeks, I think. This is the fourth message. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 9, where it says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let's pray again. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we rejoice to be your children. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the price that was paid upon Calvary for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that it is to be your child. I pray now that you would teach us from your word, open our hearts, our minds, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we may take this message, apply it to ourselves, and be made, Lord, a better servant, more profitable servants for you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Again, the subject of our Sunday evening services has been growing our faith. And the goal is that we come to the point, or we grow our faith to the point, that we share in the divine nature of our great God. It sounds like a big goal, but Peter actually tells us how we can get there. And that's what we spent the last 3 weeks going over. He's given us several little key qualities that every child of God need. And I want to just do a quick review. He said, add to your faith virtue, which is a standard of moral excellence. Add to the virtue knowledge, which only will come in time of the Word of God, time in the Word of God. Add to knowledge self-control, being able to tell ourselves no. Perseverance, which is enduring in the hard times. Godliness, seeking to honor God wherever we find ourselves. And then he got to the last two, brotherly kindness, which is a fervent caring for the family of God. And then finally, love, which is having a godly love, being able to look beyond the sins and the faults and the failures of people to see the person behind the sins, faults, and failures. And those are the qualities that we must be developing if we're going to develop into someone who can share in the divine nature. But as I said, these last three verses pull all this together. And so it tells us what gets in the way of our pursuing these qualities. And the first thing in verse 9 that Peter writes about, he said in the first part of verse 9, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Listen, the reason, if you're having a problem with developing these qualities in your life in the first part of this chapter, if you're having a problem, there is a reason that you're having a problem, okay? And that reason in verse 9 says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even blind. Literally, it means you can't see. That word short-sighted, the Greek word is myopazon. And it's where we get the word myopathy from. Okay, I'm sorry, myopia from. And it means that all you can see is what's in your face. That you can't look out there in the distance and see anything. And that's the reason, if you're having trouble building these qualities in your life, it's because you can't look beyond what's right in your face to see the promises and the glory that God has for you in your life. Well, you've got to figure out, first of all, what has caused this blindness. And Peter says the cause of this blindness is that we've forgotten that we've been cleansed from our old sins. He's forgotten that we've been cleansed. That word forgot, or the word forget, it means literally to forget by neglect. You know, I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm so forgetful. I wish I wasn't as forgetful as I am. But you know the reality of the reason we're forgetful? It's because of neglect. If you're like me, I tell my wife Beth all the time, say, now Beth, I want to do this. Don't let me forget. All the time. And she often responds to me, you want me to remind you? And what I'm saying when I say, Beth, remind me tomorrow to do this, is I'm saying, Beth, I don't want to think any more about this today. As a matter of fact, after I tell you, I'm going to dismiss it completely from my mind, and I want you to remind me tomorrow, and I'll do it. It's a matter of neglect. And see, people are the same way in spiritual matters. People, we want to forget Jesus through the week. And then come in and be reminded of Him on Sunday. And we'll come in and go to our Sunday school class. We'll come in and sit through a 30-minute message. And then, by the time we get in our car out in the parking lot, we're like, it's gone. I don't need to think about it again until next Sunday. You have a vision problem. You're short-sighted. You have to put in the effort to not neglect the things of God. You know? And the result is very plain. Because you have professing Christians today that you cannot tell the difference between their life and the life of the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. They think like the world. And I've often wondered, how can somebody claim Jesus Christ as their Savior and act like the world? Well, this is it. You know the Christian who uses foul language? It's because he's neglecting his Savior. The Christian who is wicked in their day-to-day lives, it's because they're neglecting the Savior. The reality is they do not see in a distance and in a far distance that there is coming a day of accountability, that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the deeds done in the flesh, whether they be good or whether they be bad. All they can see is right here and right now and what I want to do and what I don't want to do. The reality is, you're spiritually blind. You've got to put in the effort. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do not forget, if you are a child of God, you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And don't just dismiss it saying, well, we all sin and we all fail. That's dismissing and neglecting who you're called to be. You're going to have to make it a matter of priority and a matter of focus, or you'll never develop. He said in verse 10, I want to read that again. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That word diligent, it means do whatever it takes. Spare no effort. Everybody today seems to be looking for the easy way. Myself included. Oh, I like convenience and easy. But I remember the day when things weren't so easy. Do you remember the day before the TV remote control had been invented? Oh, what a horrible day when people had to get up off the couch and walk over to the TV and change the channels manually. See, that's what we kids were growing up. We were the remote control. For the family. Do you remember when there were no cell phones? And the phone was in one room in the house. And when the phone would ring, you would have to get up and go over and answer the phone and make an effort to talk to people. It's quite funny. I remember when I was at home as a young man, the phone would ring and we'd look at one another and say, "Are you going to get that?" "No, I'm not going to get it." "Are you going to answer it?" "No, I'm not going to answer it." Why? Because I got to get up and go answer it. It required effort. Do you remember the day when there weren't restaurants on every corner? When women and men, for that matter, when families actually stayed at home and cooked? See, we're getting a little old-fashioned dose of what it used to be back in the day. When we had meals around the dinner table. And when they cooked, they didn't put it in the microwave. It didn't come processed and packaged. That they had to make it from scratch. But we've gotten into the mindset today, we like easy. And so we go through the restaurant drive-thrus. Nothing wrong with drive-thrus. Okay? I do it myself because I like easy. I like easy, and because of that, I have a cell phone that when it rings, I just take it out of my pocket and put it to my ear. I don't have to get up. I like easy because I have a remote control in my house and I change the channel, you know, as I desire and never have to get up out of my recliner. All because I like easy. But I want to tell you something that's a plain, hardcore fact. There is no easy way to grow your faith. There is no remote controls, no cell phones, no takeouts. You have to put in the effort. And that's what Peter's saying. Look, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to put in the effort. It's going to be an effort on your part, or require an effort on your part. That's why I said, be diligent to make your call and election sure. Now, the point of this, and I want to say from the very beginning, there are those that look at it and say, well, this is talking about predestination and election. It is not talking about predestination and election, okay? It's not given as evidence. Peter's not saying that before time ever started, God went down a list and said, you can be saved and you can't, and you can be saved and you can't. No. If it were that, first of all, that would be completely out of context of what Peter's teaching. And secondly, it's just not true. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace we've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So to get the real idea of what Peter's trying to say here, we're going to have to define a few words. And we're going to start with the definition of the word call. Brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. We're actually going to define three words, starting with call. That word call or calling is your position in life or your station in life. Okay? God has called you to a particular station in life. He's placed you where you are. He's given you what you have. For me, the call that God has on my life, He has called me to preach the gospel, to pastor churches. That's my calling. And you understand that you also have a calling. Some, it's to teach. There are some who are put in job functions that they have. Wherever you are, God has a call upon your life. I want you to understand that, okay? So you've got to make your call and election. Now, the word election is the act of divine selection for a purpose. Okay, God called me to be a pastor. God placed me at Victory as the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. God called me to be a pastor. That's the call. He has placed me at Victory. That's the election. He called me and placed me where I am to serve Him. Okay? That's what those two words mean. Now, we're told to make our call, our position, and our election or our place of service, make it sure. That word sure is not talking about establish our confidence. Okay? It's not saying make sure you're in the right place for what God has for you, even though you do need to be in the right place for what God has for you. Okay? That word sure means reliable. Make your call, your position or station in life, your election, the place that God has placed you, make it reliable. My responsibility as a called minister of the gospel and having been selected by God to pastor this church, it is my responsibility to be reliable in the call and the position in which God has placed me. That's what Peter's saying. You be responsible and reliable where God has placed you. And if, verse 10, the middle of verse 10, if you will do these things, or the last part of verse 10, if you will do these things, you will never stumble. Now, it's really great because, people will say, well, you need to do this, but they don't tell you how to do it. Okay? Peter says, God's called you. He's placed you where you are. Now you be reliable. And this is how you do it. If you will do these things, you will never stumble. What things? Well, if we go back to the first part of this chapter, to the list that we've already gone over. If you will apply these qualities, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, if you will focus and keep these things on the forefront of your memory, you will do a good job in the area wherein God has placed you. But I want to show you something even better. I want to show you what I think is the coolest thing about this text. He says in verse 11, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He is not saying, okay, he's not saying, if you do all these things, then you will be allowed to enter heaven. If you have virtue, self-control, knowledge, etc. If you do those things, then God's going to open up heaven and you can come in. That's not what he's saying. Again, out of context, it doesn't work. And besides, it's in conflict with Scripture. What he is saying, you have to understand the word entrance. When we think of entrance, and we've lost this in translation, we think of entrance, we think of walking, personally walking through a door. The word used in this context literally and actually means to have access. That changes the outlook of this entire scripture. What God is saying, or what Peter is saying here, if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so, an entrance, or you will be given access into the everlasting kingdom of God. You will have access. Here's the awesome part. God's saying, if you will do these things, you will not fail as a child of God. You will be faithful in filling that position. And I too will be faithful in that I will grant you entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. I will give you access into all the resources, all the power that you need to do what I placed you on this earth to do. That's the cool part. You're not serving based upon your ability. You're not going to be successful based on your ability. Yes, we're going to try to have virtue. We're going to try to have self-control. We're going to try to have all these things that Peter said we need to be striving for. But the bottom line is, we can try all we want to, but of ourselves, we can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Peter's saying, if you will do these things, God opens up heaven and it's like going into a store. You will have everything that you need to do the job that God's called you to do. Oh, if you're a man, you know, like me, and doing jobs around the house, and whatever job I start, you know what I discover? I discover I never have the right tool or the right resources that I need to do that particular job. Oh, but I like Lowe's. I like the hardware store where I can walk in there and I can see things. They have stuff in there that I didn't even know was invented that makes that job just exactly what I, or the tools that make me do the job or give me the ability to do the job that needs to be done. You walk in there and say, oh, this is, I need a hammer. I need nails. I need screws. I need electric screwdriver. Whatever it is you need, you can walk in there and you can grab it up and you can go home and do the job you've got to do. See, this is the encouraging part of this whole passage. God's saying, listen, you do your part. I'm going to open up heaven and you walk into heaven's storehouse and I'm going to give you exactly what you need to do the job that I've called you to. That, my friend, should be an encouragement. It should make every child of God smile. Oh, we often walk around, you know, with a woe is me. I'm so, you know, it's just so hard to be a pastor. It's so hard to do my job. It's so hard. No, it's not hard. You just got to know what you're trying to do, and you got to know who to go to for the resources that you need to do the job. And it's that way with every position that God has called us to. Oh, my friends, I want you to understand we are blessed. God's not abandoned us. He's not going to say, do the best you can. He's going to say, you be faithful to me and I'll be faithful to you. I'm going to give you everything you need to do the job that I've called you to do. And we're going to stop right there. But I just once again, I want to encourage you. We serve an awesome God that's not going to leave us hanging out there alone. He's going to provide. You be faithful. You make your call and your election sure. You fulfill your responsibilities. And I promise you this, God will fulfill His responsibility. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been fighting this battle all alone. I want to tell you, you don't have to. Jesus Christ has given His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you don't have to face this life alone, and so that you don't have to endure an eternity in hell apart from God. And He invites you this evening. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, making Him the Lord of your life. If you will confess with your mouth, if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, it means put your faith and your trust in the sacrifice that Jesus made on your behalf, and call upon Jesus. Oh, my friends, you can be saved. Will you call upon the name of the Lord tonight? Will you ask Him to save you? And Christian friend, if you're already saved, it's an easy time, just to be quite honest with you, it's an easy time to be depressed, okay? Easy time to get down. I know we're having to stay at home a lot and not get out and do things we'd love to do. But I want you to understand God has not forsaken His own. He's still supplying what we need. And He's still enabling us to faithfully serve Him where we are. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to rejoice in Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, that You didn't just leave us here to do the best that we can. Thank You, Lord, that we're not fighting the battles alone. Thank You, Lord, that we're not relying on our own resources. But Lord, we rejoice in Your provision, knowing that You'll never leave us or forsake us, knowing that You will supply our every need, knowing that You are always faithful. And Lord, we want to be faithful also. Lord, I pray that You work through us, that You'll open our eyes to ministry opportunity, give us the courage and just the good sense to walk through those doors that You open, wherein we may grow in our ministry and grow in our faith of You. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. But most of all, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.